You have to believe, though. You have to believe. And I feel like if people are interested in getting into manifesting, like, definitely read, like, The Secret, obviously. But, like, Gabby Bernstein, she is, like, the manifestation queen. I highly recommend you follow her. She's got some amazing books called, like, The Universe Has Your Back. The one I'm reading at the moment, or listening to, rather, is Super Attractor. So it's how to attract all the good in your life. And it does start back where we said, like, the self-belief and the, like, hiring your frequency by meditation and that kind of thing. Like, look, it sounds woo-woo. I know how it sounds. But when you start to manifest and your first one or two small things come true, you'll realize the power you have, and it gets very exciting, and you can have fun with it.
I wanted to kind of start, like, at the very, not the very beginning, but I suppose the kind of turning events for you. Some people might know a bit, some people might follow you religiously, and then other people might know, like, a little bit about you. So I think what's most fascinating for me, and something I always remember, is that you had kind of a perception on life, or you had a lifestyle that is kind of totally different to what you have now, and you were working in public relations, and you probably had different perspective on what you wanted, and, you know, you planned your whole life with Ciarán and everything else. And you had then come back from this amazing honeymoon to a surprise diagnosis. So can you take me back to kind of that transition, or what you would have, the lifestyle, or the kind of, I suppose, where your head was at before back from the honeymoon?
I would have always described myself, now I'm still ambitious, so I hate nearly describing my past life as an ambitious career girl, because I still am, I'd say, an ambitious career girl. But I was very ambitious, nearly to a detrimental part of life. I really sacrificed a lot for going after the big jobs, the big titles, the bigger salaries every time. I was really, like, climbing up that ladder. I wouldn't say I was stepping over people to get it up the ladder, but I was definitely stepping over parts of my life to get up the ladder, and really making a lot of sacrifices. Like, people were going traveling around the world, friends were going to Australia. Like, I didn't do any of that stuff because I just wanted the jobs. So that was really a main focus for me in life. I started in PR as a late starter in PR, because PR isn't necessarily, you know yourself, the easiest thing to get into. I did a general degree in business with marketing, and I got into PR 25. So I'm 35 now, so I was a good, like, dabbling on close to 10 years in PR. I still do a bit of consultancy, but PR is stressful.
Yes.
It is stressful. Like, you're pitching. Yeah. It's essentially like you're pitching to journalists, you're under pressure to get coverage, you're going from event to event, you're going from client to client, you're trying to balance everything out. Like, it's a balancing act. That, on top of a busy life that we all have in our early, mid, late 20s, it's hard to manage. So I feel like I was definitely someone that suffered a bit with just being unbalanced in general. And my mom used to always say to me, you know, you really need to focus a bit more on your wellness, or you'll be forced to look after your illness. And I was kind of like, yeah, mom, I know. And I did, like, lean on things, like, when I was going through those stressful periods of work, back in that career, of, like, meditation, I leaned on different things like yoga. I'd, like, get a few early nights here and there if I had something big coming up. But, like, I always used to lean on them as a crutch when I needed them, and I didn't do them every day. Myself and Ciarán were, like, passing ships in the night. He was extremely ambitious. It was probably one of the things that attracted us to each other.
Yeah.
And I think around the wedding, like life got really busy. I had really big projects on and work. Kieran had just been accepted onto an acceleration program for one of his startups. He's always been self-employed. He's a software developer. And we literally were like passing ships in the night, and we were like, look, let's just keep going to the next holiday. It was always the next holiday, the next holiday, the next break. And we had our honeymoon booked for the January, so 6 months after our wedding. And we went, and Kieran was poorly, but like nothing out of the ordinary, Stephanie. Like, I feel guilty now looking back, because I thought like he had like this persistent kind of chesty cold thing that was doing the rounds in December. And I was like, oh, you just have like the remains of that, to kind of get over yourself. I know it's terrible now looking back, but like even one day we went on a hike. We went to South Africa and the Maldives on honeymoon. And we were on this hike in South Africa, and he was trying to climb up this hill, and he's out of breath, and he was sitting down. I was like, oh, come on. Like, is this what it's like to be nearly 40? Like, I was having a laugh with him, and he was like, God, this is really strange.
And yeah, I think it's a, I know you're saying you kind of, and it's a typical Irish thing as well. You know, you'd be grand, you know, you're fine or whatever. But I think it's important to also highlight that, because it makes us all more self-aware of when we think that we're not sick, and we do need to just slow down, whether it is just a cough or it is something more serious, that we do need to slow down and we do need to pay attention to what our body is saying.
Yeah, you know? And we're so blessed that Kieran did not ignore those niggles or how he felt, because on the way home from honeymoon, he was like, do you know what? I'm going to book in for a full medical. He'd usually go for one every year anyway. Like, we do stay on top of our health because we're so busy. And he went to Charter Medical Group in Smithfield, and he just went in, got a full medical done. Like, it wasn't the cheapest thing. I think it's like 400 quid or something. But they literally do everything, like all your bloods, full medical history. Like, you're in with the doctor for a good like hour or so. And he did that, and he came home and he was feeling fine. And he was like, God, I'm glad I got that done. And like literally 2 hours later, I was working in my office and his office is next door to mine. And I could hear him answer the phone. And I knew straight away when he answered the phone, it wasn't good. It was basically the hospital telling him to go in straight away. And we went in, and he was given the diagnosis then that he had acute myeloid leukemia, which is a deadly form of blood cancer, and he'd essentially need to start treatment straight away. So we went from job, 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 let's get a break on honeymoon to, okay, now we're in hospital and like our lives are never going to be the same again, do you know?
Yeah. And so you obviously, well, not obviously, but I read a lot about that time in hospital, and you slept on the floor, and, you know, you didn't need, like, those were the good days when we could go in and visit people in the hospital and spend so much time with them. So, you know, Kieran luckily got the treatment that he needed. As you said, you guys caught it early. He didn't ignore those niggles and those things he didn't feel right about. So how did the treatment go? Like, that, how long did that go on for, or what way?
So I, just to say on that, like, I was so lucky that it wasn't this year. Like, I can't imagine Kieran going through that on his own. Like, like we took that on as our illness. Like, we were a team. Like, the night he was diagnosed, I got in touch at work, and I was basically like none of that mattered anymore. It was like a light bulb moment. You know, people talk about their light bulb moments in life. I was just like, my God, what was all that stress about work about? Like, that is nothing compared to this. So I took a break. I went on official carer's leave, and I was looking after Kieran. I slept on the hospital floor. His treatment went really well. He's doing really, really well now. And a lot to do with that is the power of the mind and being positive. And I know I mentioned that saying my mum said about, like, look after your wellness, or you'd be forced to look after your illness. But I feel like myself and Kieran found wellness in his illness. So we started really focusing on the things that would make us feel good every day, the things that would make Kieran feel well, be it a juice, be it a meditation, practicing gratitude. Like, it really opened our minds up to the way we were living in the past, as like how wrong it was and how rushed it was and how maybe we weren't really living. It took that for us to realize, and I guess the frustration in my voice there is because I hate that it takes something like that sometimes for people to realize. And I do hope that COVID has made people slow down and stop and maybe realize that maybe they were going too fast and that's not what life's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. And did you, so you came out of this and both of you guys are goers. Like it seemed like you kind of had a similar lifestyle prior. So did you both kind of just take a year off or yeah, was so, it like, God, we need to really just stop everything for a while?
So I took carer's leave, and I suppose around, Kieran had a bone marrow transplant, which is quite intensive in terms of recovery. I mean, you're essentially at a hospital with no immune system. You need to build up your immune system. Like very small infections that mean you could fight off could mean a hospital stay for Kieran. Like he was in hospital last summer with a flu. So it's very intense, and I don't think people realize that, and I don't think people realize the role of the carer and all of that as well. Like I couldn't possibly apply myself the way I used to apply myself to a full-time career and have Kieran's health in the back of my mind. Like I just couldn't do it. So I think around August, I started thinking like, God, do I even want to go back to that? Like, yes, it was my dream job, but like, there's so much more to life now. I don't really want the big title, the big salaries. I don't really want that. I want a balanced life. And I feel like it was just a natural transition. I was like, I want to focus on wellness. I want to focus on getting unstuck in life. I want to focus on being balanced. And that previous career is not going to fit that mold. And I decided to resign. I resigned from that, which was very scary. Like, it's very scary to make a big change like that, especially when you feel like...
Put 10 years into it, like...
Yeah, and especially... Yeah, and I was so happy with where I was on the ladder, or so I thought. Like, I was like, God, this is a big job. I wanted it for so long. And now I'm essentially turning my back on it and being like, yeah, no, that's not for me anymore. So, like, it was a huge decision to make. And oddly enough, within making that decision, I did find the head plan, which is where I am now. And I've never felt so passionate about a project or some form of work that I've been working on my whole life. Like, I don't even feel like I'm working when I'm working on it.
Yeah. So at the time, like, social media for you was always there. It was always something that you used, and, you know, you documented your trips with Kieran and everything else. Where, like, at the turning point and you started sharing Kieran's illness and the treatment and everything that you were going through at the time, what was that like? Because obviously things started to blow up on social media. It attracted more attention. I'm sure people were messaging you saying, you know, X, Y, and Z, or they had similar experiences, or they were sharing their, you know, their sympathies and things like that. What was that like, another kind of whole world that you were kind of exploring as well?
So obviously from a PR background, I'd work with different people on social media and that. So I'd always been like behind the scenes social media, and I absolutely loved social media. So like you said, like I always did share my life. Granted, I had like 1,500 followers or something, but like I always did share my life and myself and Kieran's adventures and the wedding and all that stuff. Like I loved it. I loved documenting that stuff. Like I've always kept a journal and a diary. And for me, it was just like another way of like journaling or like keeping a diary on your life. Like I love having the memories. So we had done a whole thing on honeymoon, like we had the whole honeymoon done, like, and if you look back on the highlights, Kieran actually was deadly ill, like with leukemia in those highlights, and we'd no idea. And we had an absolute ball. So when Kieran got sick, you know, it's funny, I often think how I'd react, and we never know till we're in that situation, but I obviously was a really open person on Instagram, but Kieran necessarily wasn't. And he decided that night, he's like, no, Denise, I think I want to be really open about this because I know I'm going to be well. I know there's a plan and I need to be open. I need to get that positivity from people. So within 24 hours of him being diagnosed, he'd shared a picture on Instagram and he was really open on his own Instagram. And I didn't share anything for a day or two. But then I was like, oh, do you know what? I'm going to have to let people know as well. And we let people know, and there was an influx of love and positivity and support. But with that came growth, because Kieran started sharing his own journey. And I think people became really interested in how we were handling it, like how we were so positive, how we were having a laugh every day, how we were instilling different self-care practices throughout the day, be it like me meditating on the hospital floor, even if I was crying 20 minutes before, or like how Kieran was laughing, having a joke with the neighbors on his Nest Cam when they were walking by after mass. Like, I think people just became really interested in the wellness journey of Kieran getting better and recovering well.
Yeah. I mean, it's such an emotional, vulnerable situation, you know, and people crave that, you know, as human beings, we crave that to relate to somebody on that. And if, God forbid, somebody, you know, has gone through something similar, they were obviously, you feel less alone when you know somebody who's going through a similar situation, or, you know, and to connect in that way is a different level of connection that, you know, we don't normally experience on social media.
Yeah, and just to say, like, the power of social media for Kieran, like, Kieran and myself, like, we got so much from it. Like, I refer to it as therapy. I took it upon myself to find at least 5 to 10 people that had been through what Kieran had been through, and positive stories, and I'd filter them through to him on days that he needed it. We've connected with people on social media that we've since met who've been through this journey, who were really positive throughout our own journey. So social media is amazing. Like, I know people, look, there's trolling and there is a dark side to social media. Like, I've even gone through a few phases of, oh, I don't know if I'm really into this, but there is such a positive place in Instagram if you look for it.
Yeah, I believe that as well. And that's actually one of the questions I want to ask you a little bit later. But I want to kind of talk about, so the head plan was born out of this period in your life, and you realized that, much to your mom's point about looking after your wellness rather than looking after your illness, and kind of taking that time to really focus on what makes you feel good, what makes you feel balanced, and, you know, looking after your head. Was there things at that point that were very therapeutic for you, like unconventionally? So was it meditation, or was it manifesting? What would you say that was your, this is what makes me feel good?
So funny, I've actually been talking about this on my Instagram, building my morning ritual, because self-care is so important to me, and wellness. And like I said, I was only leaning on things as a crutch. And like, when you do that, it's like watering a plant only when it's starting to die. Do you know what I mean? So self-care and wellness to me is like watering the plant every day so you don't start to wilt. So I always did different self-care and wellness actions, and I always had a toolkit. And I suppose I was lucky in that sense that I had experienced different levels of stress throughout my career, that I realized I needed to build a toolkit, because I really leaned on it when I was in that situation with Kieran. So I wouldn't say unconventional, because I don't think meditation's unconventional now. I think it used to be very taboo, and people would be like, oh, you're meditating, and like, you think we're sitting there chanting. But like, meditation is key to me. I meditate every day. I did used to lean on it, like I said, but when Kieran became ill, I started doing it every day, and I haven't stopped since. And it had an amazing effect on my whole life. And Kieran has meditated as well. He uses the Calm app. He's not necessarily someone that would meditate every day, but meditation for me brings stillness to the mind, and it makes you very aware of the present. So where anxiety and things come from is you're either looking back or you're looking far too forward. And meditation stops all that and brings you into the present moment, which is really the key to having a balanced life. So meditation, definitely. I controlled the things I could control, and Kieran was very passionate about that as well, controlling the controllables. So like, I know it sounds silly, but we'd like control in a way what we were consuming in terms of nourishing our body, making sure we were getting the good food, like we plan our food out for the week, make sure we were getting the right snacks, the right amount of water. I'd obviously journaled every day, and that's something I did do anyway. So we had a blank notebook and we journaled every day, and that's how the head plan was born, and I'll get into that in a moment. But I did yoga. I had a yoga mat in the hospital room. I used to do a bit of yoga as well. It's really, self-care and wellness is different to everyone, and it's really about finding what works for you and what can instill that calmness in your mind.
Yeah. So how did you build the head plan off of all this? How did you bring that like light bulb moment, as you say, together and to build a health plan? Because you know, there's a lot of different components, and you know, you may probably have thought it's too personal to you. And how did you kind of see, okay, this, I can package this and help it be useful to somebody else?
I never touched on manifesting, and I'm going to get into that now actually, because I'm mad into manifesting. I have been for a long time. I think I first read The Secret when it kind of exploded. Like, I can't remember if it's like 2007 or 2009.
Oh yeah, years ago, feels time. Like, yeah.
And I read that book and I was like, oh my God. Like, my mom and dad always instilled a belief in us that we could be anything we wanted to be. And that's why we're all quite ambitious. But I feel like The Secret really instilled a deeper belief in me that not only could I be who I want, I could have anything I wanted, and my life around me could be whatever way I wanted it to be. So manifesting was huge to me, and a huge part, there's loads of elements to manifesting, like meditating, like making sure you have high frequency, you practice gratitude, you surrender to the universe, trust. Like, there's loads of elements to manifesting. But one big element for me has been journaling and writing down things. So when Kieran got sick, I was like, look, we need to do this. We need to set out goals that previously for myself and Kieran were always career orientated. I said, we need to set out goals, but not just in career, in six different areas of our life, like a more balanced life. Yeah. And we need to have equal goals in each of these areas. We need to set them out long term, break them down into short term, in turn practice them weekly, and on our daily page, which is built into the head plan, we then work towards achieving those goals. And even though Kieran was poorly in hospital, we absolutely set out those goals and we smashed them. Like, they could have been tiny things when he was in hospital. Like, a short term goal could have been like, I don't know, under finance, like, ring the bank this week and sort out the bills that I have to do now. Because let me tell you something, you won't realize how much your other half does until they actually can't do it. And you need to do so much. So it's just about really focusing on those headings and not just focusing on one area of your life. And that became the head plan method for us. And that's how it was born. It was actually born in St. James's Hospital.
yeah that's gas. So so you packaged all this into one. Actually, can you go back to manifesting, because I want to ask you, for somebody, it's a new concept to me. I think people have their own idea, or there's like different, like The Secret and everything else that's looped in. But can you explain to somebody maybe who has no clue what manifesting is?
Yeah, of course. So manifesting is essentially having a belief in yourself and the universe that you can achieve or have whatever your desire may be. So, Stephanie, if you said to me, Denise, I'd like to be, I don't know, like the President of Ireland or something, I absolutely believe you could be that if you want to do that. And it's about manifesting then is manifesting on the thought, like actually feeling like you've already achieved it and trusting that the universe will deliver that to you. But there's a lot in it. Like, it's not just, you can't just think, I'm going to do that and that's it, like a fleeting thought. Like, I use vision boards, I use my journal. I feel the feelings like they've already happened. I meditate on the feelings. like there's so many steps to manifesting that aren't just thinking the thought. Like I could nearly break it down into steps for you now. If someone wanted to get into manifesting, I'd say sit down and think about what you really want to manifest. Like start small if you're new to this. Like start with like a parking spot, start with a coffee, start small. And I want you to like really think about that coffee that you want and how it tastes and how it looks in the cup, and like really like instill those feelings in your mind. Like really, really think about it, like meditate on it. Meditate the feelings. Like I share manifestation meditations. Meditate with feeling, drinking the coffee. And by the way, I'm saying coffee, you can go much bigger than that. Like people manifest loved ones and everything, like relationships. But let's start small. And then be grateful is the second thing I'd say. Like be grateful for all the coffee you've already drank. Be grateful for the coffee you're about to drink. A grateful heart is a magnet for miracles. So be grateful. Gratitude is key in life. Like it's so important. And then the last thing is surrender to the universe. Be like, right, I know that's going to come to me now. So I can just trust in the universe that it's going to come and just keep going at it. It's an ongoing thing. Some things take a long time, other things don't. Do you know? Depends what it is.
Yeah, but at what point do you advise, like what, so I have a hard time in manifesting, I suppose, in that concept. Like I'm a real, no, but we have to do it. Like we have to go out and do it. And anything that I've been proud of or that I'm saying, yes, I can't believe I accomplished that, has just been from a direct action. Mm. Like, you know, I've been able to train myself to run really well, but that's just because I've ran and ran and ran. And I would be the first one to admit that I don't believe in myself when I do these things, but that's maybe where I'm,
yeah,
what I'm missing out on. Like I just say, I don't know if I can do it, but I'm going to try. And I just keep doing it and doing it. And I'm usually running as an example, but you know what I mean? Like kind of more about the action than about the manifesting it.
Yeah. Self-belief is huge in this though. Like self-belief, if you don't believe you deserve something, or if you don't believe you can do it, like, or if you don't believe you can be something, like it's not going to happen. Do you know, there can't be any doubt in your mind. And it's not like overly confident or cocky or anything. It's a belief in yourself that should be there already. Like, why can't you be the next Sonia O'Sullivan Stephanie? Like, no, like, why can't you be that person you want to be? Why can't you be that fit runner? Like, you really need to think about that and think about what you believe in. Running is an interesting one because that is action-based. And oddly enough, you still got up and did it. Like, that's hard work. Like, that's having a belief in yourself that you can do it, and you persevered and you went for it. That's going after a goal. That's like breaking your goal down. How am I going to run 1K? How am I going to run 3? How am I going to run 5? That is, in a way, manifesting.
Yeah, I suppose.
Like, it's like a big magnet. Like, you obviously told yourself you wanted to be a runner, and you went at, like, you, it takes motivation to do that as well.
Oh yeah. yeah I suppose,
like, I know this is going to sound really cheesy, but like, to give an example, because I feel like a lot of people are interested in manifesting for this, like I absolutely manifested Ciarán. Like I went through a really bad breakup when I was like 24. And like I was heartbroken. I was like, oh god, that's it now. Like, you know, like I thought it was the end of the world. And I remember like really focusing on, like, not necessarily Ciarán, like specifically a picture of him on a pinboard or anything, because I didn't know him. But like, I remember thinking, like, right, what kind of person do I want? Who do I want in my life? Like, and like, it's all about visualizing your life with that person in it. And like, I was very heavy on, they need to have the same family values as me. I'm really close to my family. I'd love them to have a similar family to me. Like, I'd love them to be ambitious. Like, Ciarán is from a family of 7. I'm from a family of 7. Ciarán's second youngest. I'm second youngest. Like, Ciarán has the same kind of relationships with his family as I have. We are both super ambitious. Like, that didn't just happen. Like, I believe that I put that out there and it came back. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's mad, isn't it?
You have to believe, though. You have to believe. And I feel like if people are interested in getting into manifesting, like, definitely read, like, The Secret, obviously. But, like, Gabby Bernstein. I don't know. Do you know Gabby Bernstein, Stephanie?
No, I don't.
She's on Instagram. I highly recommend you follow her. She's, like, 890,000 followers or something. I actually think she's in New York. She is, like, the manifestation queen. I highly recommend you follow her. She's got some amazing books called, like, The Universe Has Your Back. The one I'm reading at the moment, or listening to rather, is Super Attractor. So it's how to attract all the good in your life. And it does start back where we said, like, the self-belief and the, like, hiring your frequency by meditation and that kind of thing. Like, look, it sounds woo-woo. I know how it sounds, but when you start to manifest and your first one or two small things come true, you'll realize the power you have, and it gets very exciting and you can have fun with it.
I think maybe, like, the way I would think about things like that is, if you're brave enough to be willing to go out and take something, like, even just going back to the running thing, like, I was willing to be vulnerable and willing to be only able to run for a couple of minutes at the very beginning, you know, and I was willing to say, yeah, if I keep doing this, I know that it's going to, like, scientifically, my body has to get used to it. So
yeah,
that was my way of, like, okay, well, let me just keep at this. And then I know that I'm going to be able to, like, it's inevitable that I'm going to be able to run 5K and then 10K. And then I know in my heart that if I put my mind to it, like, I could run a marathon. Like, I don't see any limitations. But to me, I suppose it's more about the action and about getting up and actually doing it than playing out any, like, thoughts in my head too much. But I suppose I am, in a way, manifesting that. It's just I'm doing it in my own kind of way that I process it, I suppose.
Yeah, and like the way you're saying about exercise and training your body, like, you need to train your brain as well. Like, self-belief is a training exercise in itself. Like, I practice affirmations every morning. Like, affirmations are so powerful. Like, it probably does start with a lot of people with self-belief. Like, you need to feel you deserve these things. Like, some amazing athletes use affirmations. Like, affirmations are key. I don't know if you've tried affirmations. I have an affirmation challenge on my Instagram that's just ending today. It's 21 days. And some of the messages from people, like, they just signed on their house they didn't think they'd get, or someone's fallen pregnant through IVF and they had a few failed rounds. Like, I'm not saying that's because of affirmations, but it definitely, for me, like, instills a self-belief that these people deserve these things. And I really feel like the universe is like a magnet and they're giving out that good energy and they're getting it back.
Yeah. No, I definitely think that, because the more positive your head is, the more you're going to get. And even when things don't go right, you know, which is
exactly
inevitable as well, but, you know, you're able to cope with them in a better way.
Exactly. Like, think of it this way. Like, we've all got out of bed and stubbed our toe in the morning. Does that or does that not have a knock-on effect? Do you then not go into the bathroom and get toothpaste on your top you've just put on? Like, your day is set up in the morning. Like, if you start positively, you're going to have a positive day. If you start in a bad way, it's going to take some time to turn it back around. Do you know?
Yeah, I know. There's so much that we can control, I think, where our head's at. So what can people get from the head plan? I know we're talking a lot about manifesting here.
For me, the head plan is nearly a vision board in a journal. So the head plan is different to other journals in the sense, I've journaled for a long time. I've tried lots of different methods and things. So I've created this method called the head plan method, which is a guided journaling experience. So basically, like, it's not just a blank page where you're like, write down how you feel, or two or three bullet points. So it's broken down into sections. So the first section you'll come across is your long-term goals. And I've broken down the first few pages, like it's like a little explainer book nearly, like there's like 12 or so pages explaining how to do this. But like, I really encourage people to sit down and to think about what they want under these headings, that will instill balance in your life. So it's not just the career, like I said, it's finance, friends and family, your physical environment being your home or wherever you're living, your self-care and wellness, and your personal development and learning. So like, you set goals under each of those headings long-term wise, and then the next page, then we break them down into short term. So long term is more like maybe 5 years time, and short term is like, okay, how am I going to get there? Break it down further, like in the next 1 to 2 years. So maybe 5 years, you want to have the dream house, and short term, you're like, right, okay, I need to either get a salary increase or just speak to the bank about mortgage application. I need to view the houses. Like, there's loads of steps to it. And then we break them down, then every week you'll have a weekly goals page under the same headings, and you break them down every week. And then on your daily page, which is very important, we have, like, it's like a diary in the sense, like, I mean a diary as in something you could use for work, because we have a section for notes and appointments, and we have your top goal of the day, and then your top three tasks and actions, and then there's other tasks and actions. But the most important things on that page for me is, it's so important to practice self-care and wellness every day. That has to be a goal every single day. So we practice self-care and wellness every day. We practice personal development and learning every day. We make note of what we're most proud of every day, what we're grateful for, and we do reward ourselves every day. Like, we don't reward ourselves enough for what we do in a day. And I feel like when you're writing down your things and you're ticking them off and you're seeing how much you're achieving, your mind will be blown how much you actually get done. And when we reflect at the end of the week, your mind will be blown at what's actually been a distraction and what helped you this week achieve the things.
Yeah, because we really don't write down, like, we really don't write down everything. You might have a to-do list, but there's so much more in between, you know. And I've even had some days where I go, geez, that felt like a good day. And then you kind of think back, well, what did I do? And you kind of think back of all the small things, and you're like, God, it really does make a difference to, you know, because we move so quick, and our mind, we might be on one task, but our mind is like 10 tasks ahead. So it's so important to slow down and to really get value and gratitude out of, you know, what you're doing day to day, even the small things, because they all add up, you know.
Let me tell you, the small things actually end up being the big things. You'll be surprised. They all add up.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so reward is huge. Stephanie, I know I said it already, but like, hands up the last time you rewarded yourself for something. Like, it's so, like, when's the last time you rewarded yourself?
I don't know.
Exactly. Like, you're doing an amazing job. You're working. You have your podcast. You're running now. Like, did you reward yourself when you ran your first 1K?
I mean, that was a long time ago, but like I say, no, I mean, I just kind of,
like,
no.
Isn't that terrible though?
Yeah.
Like, that is terrible. Like, and funny, that actually feeds into your self-belief and feeling of being worthy, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's so important to reward yourself.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's a cup of tea and a bar of chocolate, like.
Yeah, no, I know. Or whatever makes you feel like.
Yeah, but I feel like when you write it down, that you've rewarded yourself and what your reward is, like, the feeling that instills is amazing.
Yeah, and that's the one thing. You're talking about journaling as well, but the reason that I relate to this so much is because I have always had a journal. And it might just be a notebook with just like sentences in it or words even, but I've always been a huge believer in writing things down. That's very, very therapeutic for me. So I definitely see the value in that.
You know what's funny about that? Like, you're saying you don't think you're necessarily good at manifesting, but do you write future goals in that journal?
No, but I know what I want.
Yeah.
In my head. Like,
if you write down, like, I feel like if you write down one goal at the start of that journal, you're already putting it in a tangible form, a physical form, that it's written down and it's not just in your head.
Mm.
there's more likelihood that that will happen. That's how journaling works.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know. I think I have
I feel like I'm lecturing you.
No. I'm like having like a Friday morning reflection. But yeah. I feel like I'm very strong in a sense that in my beliefs of, and I'm similar to you, like my parents brought me up in a similar way that you can really do anything that you want to do or whatever it is that makes you happy. So I feel a lot of it is attributed to that. But
yeah.
I'm a huge believer in, oh, but why not me? You know, and it's not, it doesn't make me better than anybody else or more intelligent. But I think a lot of what people succeed at is what they're brave enough to do.
Exactly.
You know, like I'm brave enough to, running terrifies me and it's tough and, you know, there's, everyone has their challenges, but I'm brave enough
to believe. Moving the other side of the world isn't easy, Stephanie. I know I said this to you in a message, like I remember you moving over there. I followed your story and I remember like you were upset in the airport and everything. Like it's not easy, you know, like, so you are a dream chaser. I love that.
I know. And I'm like, you know, I turned 29 this year and I'm going to be 30 next year. And I'm like, you know, you're scrambling. You're like, oh my God, like, you know, I haven't done, you know, but you kind of, you let yourself dabble in those thoughts. But then I pull back and I say, no, like, hang on a minute. You know, I might not be, everyone's so different. Everyone's story is so different. But for me to have set up a whole new life here in the States, and to be happy to do it and to, you know, be so content here. Like, that's
and
a huge...
And can we add that you're doing really well? Like, do you know, like, you're not, like, New York's not cheap.
And it's not, yeah. And it's such a competitive city because everybody comes here to do the same thing, you know? So it's like, I feel like although I may not stay in New York forever or, you know, I may or may not, but I think no matter what, all the skills are always transferable and the things that I've taught or that I've learned are always transferable as well. You know, so it's just those little things that I've always, when you reflect on and you say, whether it's you've been through an illness or, you know, you've lost a family member or you've set up a new life, or even if you failed at things, I think failing at things is brilliant.
Yes,
you know, say things really haven't worked out, but I know what I've learned from them. Yeah. And there's so much value in that.
Mm. You know? So important. You learn so much from, I don't even really believe in the word failure, like, but you do learn so much from those things that don't work out the way they're supposed to, because oddly enough, like, I know this is such an annoying saying and some people hate it, but like, I do believe what's meant for you won't pass you by, you know? I do believe that if it hasn't worked out, it hasn't worked out for a reason.
Yeah, I'm trying to get into that one. I'm trying to get my head around that one, but I do love the thought of not really using the word failure, because yeah, I think there's always something to be gained. Always.
Always, always, always.
That's like the beauty of it.
Mm.
So how do you use, you have this lifestyle that, you know, is probably like chalk and cheese to where your head was at before.
Yeah, I mean, it is and it isn't. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I was only talking on my stories today. I'm going to take a little break off Instagram this weekend because, like, life is busy. Like, it doesn't matter what you're doing. Like, life is always busy, but it's only as busy as you make it. So, like,
you know, your life is so different now and, you know, you've gone through all these different changes and you've made different things a priority for you. I suppose my question to you is, like, how do you use social media still in after all the changes that have gone on? Because I know I've been on it for the last 10 years and have seen the changes. And, you know, the 2020 version of social media is very different to probably what you used while you were on your honeymoon and that period. So how do you use social media and in your life now, or how do you kind of see how it plays a role?
Yeah, so social media is still an outlet for me. Like, it's something I enjoy. I know I referred to it as therapy earlier on in our conversation. Like, it definitely helped me get out of a dark place. I do agree with you, though. I think it's so different at the moment. I feel like people are worried, people are anxious, people are upset, and people have nowhere else to direct their anger or very strong opinions. And I feel like a lot of them are being directed at people online. So it is a balancing act. I mean, you don't want to piss anyone off with what you're talking about, but at the same time, it's your page, it's your opinion, it's what you feel. But like, it can instill strong feelings in people and you can get backlash. I definitely try, I use social media differently now than sharing at the honeymoon anyway, because what I'm really passionate about is wellness and helping people get unstuck. So I share a lot of self-care and wellness tips, be it meditation, we have chats about books, we've chats about the head plan, we've chats about goal setting, we've chats about going back to education. Like, I try and keep my page about that. But then, like, we do, like, you can't help but get caught up in other conversations that some people aren't going to be happy about, you know? You just have to balance it out and just realize that I just don't take any of it personally. There is a lot of negativity online. I know I said it's such a positive place, but I've never experienced negativity online like I have throughout COVID, if I'm honest.
Really?
Yeah, and I don't mean I'm being trolled. I just mean people, what they're sharing, or I just feel like a lot of people are really unhappy, and I understand why they'd be unhappy, but I feel like that's the time you shouldn't really be on social media, and you should be directing your energy a bit more inward.
Yeah.
And like trying to fix that within yourself, you know? Like, there's been a lot of trolling, not with me, but there's been a lot of trolling with a lot of Irish girls. I'm sure you follow them all. Like, it's social media is a small world. It doesn't matter where you are. There's been a lot of trolling online. Like, I don't really get that. I don't really get that hate in people.
I know. It's so far removed from anything that I involve myself in. It's just very strange.
Yeah.
And the only reason I bring this up is just because you're such a positive energy, and you know, you have a good intention to spread positivity, and kind of the total opposite to all of that, you know? So that's kind of the only reason I bring it up. And there's a lot of people, I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done in eliminating that kind of behavior online. Yeah, you know,
definitely. And like attracts like, so that's why I do try and put out only positive stuff. And like, I'm going to be honest, like, I've muted some people on Instagram. Like, the mute button's amazing. Like, be aware of what you're watching, what you're taking in. I never watch the news or anything. Like, be aware of what you are surrounding yourself with, even if it's online. Like, if someone instills some kind of feeling within you that's a negative feeling, mute them. Like, you don't have to be harsh and unfollow. Like, just mute them for a while. Maybe their values aren't sitting well with your values. Like, it's so important to protect your own space, you know?
Yeah, so important. And another thing is, and you touched on it earlier, I recently read the book The Laws of Human Nature, and it's a 28-hour book, but it's I haven't fully finished it yet, but one of the biggest things that I've really kind of not discovered but has been so prevalent in the book is to understand where people are coming from, so to have kind of almost a really strong sense of empathy when you see people, to your point, they're angry or they're sad or there's something going on with them that's making them express this, and they're only using social media as a tool to express it because they can get away with it, or you know, maybe they're lashing out at their close loved ones or whatever it might be. But it's a sense of like, that's as my mother would say, that's their shit, you know, their shit, and don't let it be projected on you. And to your point, that you don't take it personally, it's not associated with you. It's not coming from you. It's nothing. It's not your energy, you know?
No, it's not. But on saying that, I'm actually studying life coaching and neuroscience at the moment. I went back this year and I'm learning a lot about like emotional intelligence. And there's a guy, Daniel Goleman, he speaks a lot about the open loop system between two humans, how your energy picks up off my energy. Like it's a, like a flowing, ever moving system. So that's what I'm saying. Like you really need to be aware of not only the energy you bring into the room, but the energy you're picking up in a room. You need to be aware of that and protect yourself. You know, if you're getting a bad vibe off someone, like that's not gonna, that bad vibes don't lie, you know.
And absolutely,
maybe you're getting a bad vibe for a reason. Maybe it's something particular in your life. Maybe it's bringing up something within you. But like, just take a step back and be aware of other people's energies and your own energies. Like when you become more aware of it and when you learn about it, like it blow your mind. But like you said, empathy is a huge thing, and it's a huge thing throughout all those books I'm reading on emotional intelligence. Like feel, not feel sorry for them, but like try and feel what they're feeling. Like why are they so passionate about that? Like they're obviously passionate about it for a reason, and it's coming across like angry or upset, or like just take a step back and be like, okay, like that's their issue, you know, it's nothing to do with you.
Yeah, and then that deflects it off you, because you shouldn't have, we shouldn't have to take on, to your point, you protect yourself from these energies, and we shouldn't have to take them on. You know, they're not ours to take on. They're not ours to, you know, incorporate. They're not ours to absorb. They're not, it's not our energy.
No, you know? Not at all.
So we've been chatting for a long time already.
Sorry.
Is there any tidbits? So I know I'm going to put the information in the description box about the head plan. People can get it online. And you have your whole social media dedicated to what that looks like, and they can kind of experience what it looks like prior to purchasing.
Exactly. So the head plan, we're expanding the line this year, which we're really excited about. So we only launched on the 27th of December after what was the most difficult year of our lives. And we've done really well. We've sold several thousand copies of the journal, and we're expanding the line. We hope to go into retail, and next year, hopefully we go digital.
Amazing. Yeah. So there's loads to come down the line then for you.
I'm sure I'm going to be qualified next year, and I hope to instill a lot of my learnings into products. So it's not just wellness coaching per se, but it'd be like wellness or life coaching through products and things, just so it's more easily accessible for a lot more people.
Yeah, it's so important. It's something that I, you know, I wish I didn't have to wait until I was 30 to kind of discover all of this, you know?
Yeah, but I wouldn't be too hard on yourself either, because some people mightn't be discovering it till they're in their 50s. Like you're still open to it, and you're still learning about it now. So that's really good. Mm-hmm. And I'm definitely going to be looking at teaching manifesting and vision boarding a bit more. So I'll definitely get you on that. And I'll win you over yet, Stephanie.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I'm open to it, and I have to just be honest and say I find it tough to kind of say, you know, let the universe like, you know, will tell you these things, or I struggle with finding the logic in it. So I'm not closed off by any means, but you know.
I can tell you're not. I can tell you're not. And look, I'll be honest, like when Kieran got sick, I was like, well, none of that worked. But like it did work when he was sick, because we visualized him coming out, and like we just changed our focus, you know.
Yeah.
So like I can understand why people might be a little bit more skeptical or whatever to it, but it works.
Yeah.
It works. Believe.
That's amazing. And is there any, before I let you go, is there any maybe three books that you've read, or do you read any self-help books or any books that you've read that you would recommend?
I've booked out my ears, and obviously I'm doing a lot of reading with college now. So The Chimp Paradox is amazing. I'm not going to put these in order. I actually have a blog post on life-changing books that I wrote last year on my blog, but I haven't really updated the blog in ages, but there's really good books in there. So I'm not going to put these in order, but just because these are on my mind at the moment. Number one, The Chimp Paradox. That is about quieting quieting down the negative self-talk we have in our head. It's referred to the chimp. So everybody has it in their mind, and it's just about reprogramming your mind for confidence, success, and happiness. It's so good. And I'm doing a book club at the moment on my Instagram, and that's the September read. Number two that I just read in July and kind of made me totally think about my whole morning ritual is Atomic Habits by James Clear.
Amazing, yeah.
Have you read it?
Yeah, brilliant. So, very, very easy to read as well.
Very easy to read. And I'm not like a huge avid reader. Like I definitely... the genre books I read are really only personal development books or psychology or that, but like that was such an easy read, and it really made me think about my habits, good and bad, and it really made me create my own morning ritual. And even if it's only, like he says, like changing 1% every day, like that all adds up to like atomic, like change in your life. So loved that book. And for anyone looking to dabble in personal development, I'd say that's a really good one to start, because it makes you look at your own habits and it's an easy read, like you said. And the third one, I'd say, because we were talking a bit about manifesting, I think Gabrielle Bernstein's book, Super Attractor. It's
And now that I googled it, the book itself.
Yeah. Sorry, you broke up a little bit there when you said that.
No, I recognize the book. It's like it's all over the States over here.
So she's huge over there. So like Oprah's named her as like the new age thought leader of our generation. Like she is unbelievable. Like definitely get onto her. Follow her on Instagram. She has really nice affirmation cards and everything. I'm a big fan of her. So if you're interested in manifesting, I'd definitely start with that book.